Well, welcome, everybody. This is Brian Brady, America's most opinionated mortgage broker, and I'm bringing you to another Bloodhound Blog Mortgage Minute. And this morning I have the FHA expert, Jeff Belanger, who is a branch manager with National Future Mortgage in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Jeff, are you with us today?
Hey, Brian Brady. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to have you here.
Well, thank you.
Jeff and I have known each other through our interaction on the Active Rain Real Estate Network and actually in the MySpace mortgage blogs. Back in the back when it first came out, we used to communicate and post different scenarios to each other up there. Jeff is an expert at FHA loans, and I'm glad you're here, Jeff. What is the biggest problem? Why did everybody forget about FHA loans all of a sudden?
Well, it probably went back to about 5 or 6 years ago when, you know, subprime has been around for a while, but the subprime really hit the market strong, again, 5 years ago, very much opened up the floodgates to high LTVs, allowed, you know, borrowers that were kind of still shaky, but, you know, everybody basically said, hey, look, we're going to take this risk. Everybody else is doing it. Why not do it? So, you know, between that, the fact that a lot of the lenders don't, you know, care, you know, going after FHA because it's costly on their end up front to become FHA approved.
It's costly to be an FHA lender?
Well, okay. Not so much costly, it's time consuming.
Okay.
Which, you know, could still equate to money because you either have to have, you know, your mini eagle or your eagle.
Okay. Whoa, eagles. What are, you mean the licenses?
Yes.
Okay. So a full eagle means that HUD or the government actually says that you have the right to make credit and underwriting decisions with essentially their money. Is that correct?
Correct.
Wow.
So we're basically delegated to underwrite our own FHA loans as opposed to having a mini to where I can turn around and just sell them to other investors, and they underwrite it though.
Okay, so HUD, let's go back a bit. The FHA program, didn't that come out of the New Deal legislation from Franklin Delano Roosevelt?
Yeah, back in 1934.
How about that? And
so
it's still around today.
For a long time.
And you pointed out that the aggressive subprime has really kind of eliminated people. What about the new loan officers that have come into the business in the last 5 or 6 years?
That would be the third part that I was going to bring up with, and that's just a lot of the new LOs getting into the business. They're not taught FHA, and it's sometimes not the lender wanting to not teach it to them. It's just the fact that, you know, it's very easy to follow a subprime, and basically what I just say to everybody is a subprime is a simple matrix within itself, and you know, it's very easy to look at a subprime matrix and say, okay, you have a 540 credit score and you're putting 15% down, you fit these requirements, bingo, it's a done deal.
Jeff Belanger, the FHA expert, we're going old school.
Kind of.
It actually requires a loan officer to do a little bit of analysis here, doesn't it, on an FHA loan?
Yeah, you actually have to, you know, understand the true concept of how FHA works as opposed to just looking at a piece of paper.
Well, let's talk about some of the applications for FHA loans today, because, again, I mean, we're back to the future when it comes to underwriting guidelines now. Tell me about when you're purchasing a home. Have they figured out this 100% deal with FHA yet?
No, they haven't. It's HUD's approved it. It hasn't been approved in Congress yet.
I've got to think that they're going to approve it.
Well, I would think they would. It's kind of hard to pinpoint it now because of what's happened in the last 5 to 6 months. With a lot more of these foreclosures popping up, you know, is HUD going to, or actually is Congress going to look at this and say, look, we really want to get more homeowners in there, but they're going to have to be a little bit more responsible. And now do we raise the, you know, requirements for 100% financing as opposed to the typical 2.25% down?
But I think both Hillary Clinton and George Bush want the 100% loans, don't they?
Well, I know in, you know, President Bush's, you know, talks throughout his candidacy, he basically, you know, was pushing for this. And I think, yeah, Hillary Clinton, it's high on her agenda, too, amongst everybody.
I know Senator Clinton wants to see the government do something to help out the subprime homeowners, so I'm sure this might be a solution for them.
I think so, too.
So when are we going to hear Congress? Is that coming up soon or in the next 6 months?
there's reports that, you know, they're supposed to come out with something sometime in May. Usually, January is a good month for, you know, new things that Congress passes and, you know, up, basically raising the loan amounts. But that never happened, and, you know, there's some speculation that it was going to happen in April or May, but it's hard. I haven't heard anything else yet, so.
Well, hopefully we'll see that come out from Congress, and they'll be able to provide this 100% loan for people who are buying houses. You found a way to kind of one of the things about that 3% down requirement or the 2.25% down requirement that you talk about is that money does not have to be the borrower's own money. Is that correct?
Well, yeah. That will be getting into what's called gift money. But, yeah, typically FHA states that you have to have 3% of your own money.
Okay.
Now, you can actually get up to 100% gifted from your family members. And what's ironic is, it can be outside family members, which would be from a nonprofit organization.
Oh, that's the money laundering thing you wrote about.
Yes. And the reason why you're bringing up is, you know, money laundering is the fact that, you know, it's coming from the seller. It's basically coming from the equity of the property. So, you know, there's a lot of uproar on it because some people would say, hey, look, you have to raise the value of the property. You know what? If the property value is actually there and it's, you know, legally been done the right way in regards to the appraisal, there should be no uproar to begin with.
This is the Nehemiah program that I'm joking about by calling money laundering, but it's 100% legal and been around for years, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's been around since 94. It really came out in existence in 97, per se. There's multiple other programs just like it, but Nehemiah happens to be probably one of the biggest.
Okay, so let me see if I understand this. I'm a seller, and I'm selling, say, a $200,000 house. The buyer's got to come in with at least $12,000. I can essentially gift that money to Nehemiah, the organization, who in turn gifts it to the buyer. Is that correct?
Well realistically, they would only need $6,000.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, because they only need 3% of their own money. Now they can get the other monies outside that. But, yeah, getting back to Nehemiah, because they're a nonprofit organization and because they're actually swinging the money around from the seller to the buyer, which under FHA approved this, or actually HUD approved this, it's all legal, they can get the full assistance, which can be now used as their down payment.
I see.
As opposed to the 6% seller contribution that everybody gets us confused with, because FHA also allows the seller to contribute another 6% just in seller assistance. But that money can only be used for certain items, and it cannot be used for non-recurring expenses, which would be, you know, your homeowner's insurance, and not, you know, taxes and such.
Okay. I just realized, you and I are getting technical. You wrote two posts on this, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
So why don't I, if it's okay with you, I'll put those links up along with this podcast so people can read along as they see the Nehemiah program.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Great. When you're going to refinance a house, there's so many people that are caught in these two-year fixed mortgages. It seems like HUD's got a pretty good solution to that.
Yeah, they do. Getting to, like, the cash out and the refinancing, you know, HUD just recently, within the last year or so, allowed borrowers to go up to 95% of the value of the property to pull cash out.
Really? It used to be, what, I think 85, wasn't it?
Yeah, it used to be 85. So they got really aggressive in there and actually surpassed, you know, the conventional side and pretty much matched the subprime side, because you can still go out there and get 100% financing subprime in the subprime market, but the problem is you're going to be paying a lot higher rate for it.
Yeah, that's one of the unique things. I mean, HUD rates are pretty much A-paper type rates, aren't they?
They're exactly A-paper rates.
So you could conceivably, there's, if I'm hearing you correctly, Jeff, there's a whole lot of people that are either stuck in subprime loans or bought with a subprime loan that very realistically could have been put into an FHA mortgage and been paying thousands of dollars less in interest each year.
Yeah, very much so.
The underwriting guidelines that HUD has, again, I'm thinking old school stuff. They used to say that there was no minimum credit score. Is that still around?
That's still around. That's the beauty of that particular type of program is because, again, as you stated, you don't need a credit score.
Okay.
There are actually no requirements that their credit scores can be so low, but you actually don't need one. Now, under certain lenders, they can actually go ahead and justify that okay, you know, we don't have a good rapport with HUD. So our underwriters are told that, okay, we have to at least have a 500, you know, 580 minimum.
Okay. So HUD says you don't have a certain credit score, but Wells Fargo or Countrywide or anyone, I'm just using examples,
correct,
could step in and say, we require a 580 or a 620 credit score.
Correct. And
okay.
What's the beauty about getting to the credit score and the credit itself, you actually don't have to have any credit either. HUD allows you to go ahead and do or use what's called non-traditional credit.
Non-traditional credit. Explain that.
Basically, anything that is not reported to the credit agencies, which would be rent, your car insurance, utility bills, cable, cell phone, electric, anything that you can prove either in a letter from that agency to the company and either 12-month checks, canceled checks for that.
And along this same vein, I'm not really trying to jump off topic here, but this actually works well for – does FHA still make loans to non-resident aliens?
Yes, they do. They're actually very aggressive in that and basically saying, you know, as long as you have a green card,
mm-hmm,
we'll do the loan.
We had a case in Phoenix years back when there were tons of Bosnians moving to Phoenix because of the unrest over there with Milosevic and Yugoslavia, and so many of them did FHA loans. This is really a great program for the new American, is it not?
Yeah, very much so.
So if you're in the country for a couple of years and you're paying your cell phone bill and your rent and your utilities and your car insurance, the FHA expert, Jeff Belandra, could probably get you a loan. Is that true?
That's very true.
Well, that's pretty exciting.
And something to get back on the credit issue really quick, not taking too much time on this. You know, I can give you one example to where, you know, in the subprime market, the guy would have had to put 20% down, would have had some, you know, very high rate. I had a gentleman that was 2 years outside bankruptcy, no reestablished credit except for a car loan of like 3 to 4 months, and we were able to still prove his rent and like three other pieces of non-traditional credit, and I was able to get him an FHA loan with no doubt.
Wow. Jeff, I remember, again, I'm going back to my originating days in Phoenix when you could put we called them kiddie condos, something about a non-occupant co-borrower. Is that still around?
Yeah, it is, and it's not utilized. And what's unique about this is, again, you can have a non-occupying co-bar. Again, the one fallacy that people don't realize is, under any loan, credit is not – you cannot use a co-bar's credit to make a loan work.
Okay.
What they're looking for is the income.
Okay.
So in this case, the borrower still has to have some pieces of credit, but he doesn't – or he or she still don't even have to have a job, though. The non-occupying co-bar could still be the sole supporter of that house, just like a true co-signer would be back in the days when you're, you know, for like, you know, buying cars.
So if I'm understanding this correctly, a family in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, sends their son off to University of Texas, and they decide that instead of living in the dorms, they want to buy him a condo in Austin because they like that real estate market. Junior can be on the loan and learn the principles of how to manage debt properly,
yeah,
and mom and dad's income will count for it. Is that correct?
Very much, yep.
Do you see that happen much, or is it something that everybody's forgotten?
Everybody's forgotten about it.
Wow. Because in many college towns, there's probably a tremendous market for that.
I'm sure there would be. I can remember being in college to where one of my roommates, his father, bought the house, but it was just solely in his name.
Well, that's pretty exciting.
Now you could have had that in his name, and he could have been establishing credit at that time.
And I guess down the road, as Junior graduates college and gets a job, he can qualify for a loan on his own.
Yep.
Exciting stuff.
Yeah, it's very powerful. It's just not used out there, and a lot of it goes back to the education of the average loan officer when they got into the business.
What are the problems with FHA loans right now? Are the loan limits still woefully behind?
In some areas, as in California, has been a big issue, in which I think they just raised that, last year in January. I think they're still behind. If you pay attention to the news, you know, the medium price for the home is still above what FHA has in certain counties. New Jersey is the same way, where North Jersey is a lot higher as opposed to South Jersey.
What's your loan limit there in Cherry Hill?
It's about 292.7. 92.3, somewhere in that area.
And what's the median priced home they're selling for?
Well, it depends on exactly what area you're in, but it's going to be above 300.
Okay. Is it possible to get a home at that price point at that FHA loan limit in South Jersey?
Again, it goes back to what area. I mean, if you just want to live in a comfortable area to where your kids are going to a good school, Bedford Lakes is a great example. You can get a three-bedroom rancher there. It's going to be about $300,000.
Okay. I think they raised our loan limits here. Again, I'm so woefully unprepared, but I think they raised them to 417. And if they did, in San Diego County, there are still some opportunities for someone to purchase. Generally speaking, though, can't the FHA loan limit encompass most of the homes in the country?
Oh yeah, I'm sure most.
Obviously, the stuff in the news are in the high priced areas and how it's behind.
Of course.
There.
HUD's main mission or mission statement is, you know, helping those to get affordable home housing.
Gotcha.
That's their main, mission. But the fact is, you know, they're trying to catch up in certain areas because of, again, what we just talked about, the home values, it took off in some areas.
So they're probably not gonna finance a mansion on the main line in Philadelphia or an oceanfront home in La Jolla, California.
No. that goes again.
And nor should they, I guess, right?
Right. Well, no, they shouldn't. I mean, it's just common sense falls into play there.
So let's do a quick summary here, if I understand this correctly. It's a loan that hasn't been used in 5 years.
And pretty much so.
We can conceivably get consumers into houses for as little as 3% down, and they could actually get that as a gift from a family member or a nonprofit organization.
Correct.
And for a lot of these folks that are stuck in these two-year arms, the FHA may be a solution for them.
It could be. They do need to speak to someone that really knows what they're looking at and how to review this. And the main thing for that individual is to make sure that the value is there.
So I imagine one of the solutions, Jeff, might be to go to www.thefhaexpert.com. Is that one place to go?
Yes, that's a very knowledgeable place.
Okay. And Jeff, would you mind giving the folks your phone number here just in case somebody heard a light bulb go off and said, you know, I need to speak with an FHA expert?
My office number is 800-291-7900, and I can also be best reached at my email address, which is jelonger@nationalfuturemortgage.com, and it's all spelled out in one word.
Okay. How about that phone number one more time for folks, Jeff?
That's 800-291-7900.
And your website is www.thefhaexpert.com. Well, I want to thank you for spending this time with us. It was helpful. This is our first Bloodhound Blog Mortgage Minute, and we certainly thank you for your expertise, Jeff.
Well, Brian, I thank you for letting me discuss this.
Great. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Thank you.